We please welcome to the stage on drums, Lewis Nash. Yeah. On piano, Mulgrew Miller. On bass, Christian McBride. On guitar, Russell Malone. And on vibraphone, Gary Burton.
Hi, everyone. Nice to see you all here tonight. Wow, nice crowd tonight. Thank you. Pleasure to be back in the Bay Area again. This is my first time at the New Yoshi's. It's also the first time for Mulgrew. And also the first time for Lewis. The reason we all got together about a year and a half ago was to do a record in tribute to some great vibraphone players, and that sort of led to the club asking about putting us in to play the music, and to my amazement, we found a week when everyone was available at the same time, and here we are. We're going to play mostly music from the record featuring the different vibraphone players, and I'm going to tell you a lot about the history of the vibraphone, which you probably don't know up to now because a lot of you don't even know what the vibraphone is. I'm constantly asked, in fact, when I'm on airplanes, I try to avoid even admitting I'm a musician because it always leads to the question, oh, what do you play? And I say, the vibraphone, and they go, what's that? And I say, it's like a xylophone. And I say, well, what's that? And I say, well, it's what Lionel Hampton plays. And then sometimes it used to be pretty much would take care of it, but nowadays that doesn't even do it. So, Milt Jackson always wore a pin on his coat of a little vibraphone, a little silver vibraphone, and I saw it one day and asked him what it was, and he said, that's so when people say, what's a vibraphone, I can just point to it. Well, we're going to start with a Thelonious Monk tune, and just to warm up with, Monk is probably one of the most played jazz composers. Almost every band that I know has a Monk tune or two in their repertoire. We love playing his music, and that's as simple as you could put it. This is Monk's Dream. Thank you.
Thank you.
as I pointed out before, the vibraphone is not the most common instrument, and it's pretty much popular only in the jazz world. So you don't see it in classical music or rock and roll much, that sort of thing. And in fact, you know, I'm always interested in the things that people say when they come up to comment on it afterwards. By far, the number one comment from people is, and this is true only of the vibraphone, how do you know which note to hit? They don't ask you this, right? No? That's the number one question. It's a very profound question, actually. I don't know how to answer it. The second most common remark is, you sound almost as good as Lionel Hampton, which I take as a great compliment, because at least they know what it is and all that. The most interesting comment I've ever gotten was a guy in New York, this center of jazz sophistication, who came up after the set and said, you know, when you get going really fast, it looks like you've got two of those things in each hand. I knew at that moment that I would be able to use that line for years to come. Well, the vibraphone was invented between 1925 and 1930, various stages of evolution by instrument companies, but it really came of age, got launched in 1930 when Lionel Hampton recorded the first record on the instrument with Louis Armstrong called Memories of You. And it went on from there. And until recently, almost all the major players in the history of the instrument were still alive, still playing. And really, for me, the motivation to do this recording was that about a year and a half ago, we lost both Bill Jackson and Red Norvo within a few months of each other. And it seemed like the passing of an era to me, because these were two of the most significant players in the history of the instrument. Hamp is still alive, still playing, 93 years old, still at it. But we're going to play it next, a piece that's the theme song of Milt Jackson. It was his signature piece. He wrote it early in his career and played it throughout his life. Must have recorded it 10 different times in different groups and so on. Even with the Modern Jazz Quartet, the group that he was with for over 40 years, I think they recorded it three or four times themselves. It's called Bag's Groove. That was his nickname. The name of the record, by the way, I picked all their nicknames. It's called For Hamp, Bags, Red Bags, and Cal. I guess there's some dispute over where Bags' nickname came from. I think it supposedly had to do with his carrying all these cases with the vibraphone in it. Anyway, this is Bag's Groove, and it starts with Mulgrew on piano. I was a little reluctant when we first worked out the arrangement for this, for the record, to actually play this song. I associated it so much with Milt that I said, well, let's maybe someone else play the opening melody, so we gave it to the piano, so Mulgrew gets the start for us. Here we go, Bag's Groove. Red Norvo actually was famous before any of the other people in the Vibe history, but he was famous as a xylophone player and marimba player in the 1920s. Actually had become a major band leader before the vibraphone was even invented. And even after it was around, it was a decade or more. It wasn't until 1943 that he actually switched to the vibraphone and gave up the xylophone. There's some wonderful classic recordings of his xylophone playing, in particular a piece called Dance of the Octopus that's become quite a jazz classic and was singled out in a wonderful book about the early generation of jazz by Gunther Schuller as being one of the most significant modern contemporary jazz compositions of the 1920s and 30s. I had the pleasure of doing a tour with Red in the 1960s. It was one of those projects put together by a jazz festival promoter, and I thought it'd be a great idea to combine us two vibraphone players. So we had a rhythm section and we took turns. He'd play for a while, I'd play for a while, then we did some songs at the end together. We played all around Europe for about a month. Until it was the 60s, because at one of the concerts in Germany, we were billed as Gary Burton and his All-Star Love-In Orchestra. And one of my great memories of Red was when I was here in town once playing at the Fillmore in the 60s. I used to be opposite rock bands. Actually, we were playing opposite the Cream at the time. And this is some serious volume levels going on. And we had played a set, and as we were coming out the door of the Fillmore, and the Cream was just cranking up to get going, Red was coming in. And he sort of waved at me as in the crowd as he went in and said, "Hey, saw you were in town, we're coming to see you," and went on in to see the Cream. And I never did find out from him later what he thought of that experience, but probably was interesting. Anyway, one of the songs that we played on that tour, which is not particularly one of his signature pieces, but I decided to do it on the recording because we played it every night on this tour and it had a lot of sentimental connections to me, not the least of which is I'm from Indiana. The song is Back Home Again in Indiana. So here we go. It starts with Christian playing the melody. Thank you. Here's a song written by pianist Makoto Ozone, who did all the arrangements, in fact, for the vibraphone record. And this is a piece he actually wrote on a project of his that was in honor of Oscar Peterson. And it's called The Test of Time. Thank you. no end to the stories about Hamp. This is his theme song. It's called Flying Home. He first recorded it in the 30s with Benny Goodman and has played it ever since as his theme song. During a lot of those years when he toured with the big band, he was famous for trying to bribe guys in the band to jump off of balconies with capes and things to kind of dramatize the theme song. I don't know if he had too many takers or not. So here we go, Flying Home. Thank you. Well, it's already overtime, so count your blessings. A piece in honor of Cal Jager. How many people? How many people here actually saw Cal play when he was? He died in 1982, so that means you're a little. What are you doing out this late? Cal's great contribution for the vibraphone was that he was a pioneer of Latin jazz, and he found a new role for the vibraphone, and that was a very important addition to the history of the instrument. And this particular piece we're going to do is a real classic of the Latin jazz genre. It was written by Mongo Santa Maria and recorded by both of them when Mongo played in one of Cal's groups in the early days. It's called Afro Blue. And it's unusual among Latin pieces. It's actually in 3/4 time. It's a kind of time feel called a Cuban waltz. Afro Blue.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Yoshi's at Jack London Square. We're glad you could make it out this evening. Will you please give a very warm round of applause and welcome to the stage on drums, Lewis Nash. On piano, Mulgrew Miller. On bass, Christian McBride. On guitar, Russell Malone. And on the vibraphones, Gary Burton. Well, hello everyone. Welcome. We got together in the first place about a year and a half ago to do this recording project that was a tribute to these great vibraphone players, Lionel Hampton, Red Norvo, Bill Jackson, and Cal Jader, and never expected to actually play it live anywhere, and Yoshi's got in touch and said, how about booking that? And I said, good luck getting everybody on the same week, and took about a year's advance booking, but actually found a week we could all make it, so here we are. And so most of the music tonight will be songs associated with these vibraphone greats, but we're going to start with a monk tune just to warm up, and it's called Monk's Dream. Thank you. you very much. Bill Jackson was the reigning star of the vibraphone when I first took up the instrument and was learning to play. He was my favorite player. I didn't end up playing anything like his style, but he was my hero during the 60s, 50s and 60s and 70s, and remained a major force, probably the leading player on the instrument for about 40 years. Most of that with the Modern Jazz Quartet, the longest running groups in the history of jazz. And we're going to play one of the pieces from their repertoire, which featured Milt. It's a ballad. It also goes into Swing Time. That was written by John Lewis, the pianist of the MJQ. It's called Django, which is named for the famous French guitarist Django Reinhardt. Thank you. Pioneer of jazz on the mallet instruments was Red Norvo, who started playing the xylophone in the 1920s and became a very successful band leader long before the vibraphone actually was invented, which was about 1930. And in fact, Red played with the Paul Whiteman Orchestra and it was a famous concert in 1926 at the Aeolian Hall in New York, where they premiered George Gershwin playing for the first time Rhapsody in Blue, and another great star of the day, Zez Confrey, playing his big hit, which was Kitten on the Keys, and all with a 23-piece orchestra, and Red was all part of this. He told me he also played strolling xylophone during the intermissions in big ballrooms, he would roll his xylophone from table to table and play little solo pieces for the diners. He also told me a very funny story of his one of his gigs in Las Vegas, where he ended up working for about a decade. It was like this: they had a circular stage with a curtain that was run by motors, and it would raise very quickly. And then there was this recorded announcement. They did so many shows in these Vegas nightclubs, so many shows that everything was pre-recorded. The announcement, the Red Norvo Quartet, and they would start playing, and the curtain would go up. And that night, the curtain caught the front of the vibraphone. And they're kind of just put together like an Erector set. They're not really bolted tightly together. It kind of just hangs together. So as it picked up the vibe, it kind of just rose it up about 2 or 3 feet in the air, and it all just kind of folded together. Came back down, had to bring down the curtain and take 10 minutes to set up again and start over. That's about the only vibraphone story there is. So Red had a famous trio. He started on the vibraphone in the 1940s, switched from xylophone to vibes, and had a famous trio in 1950 and 51, which made enough recordings to make one CD, which keeps getting re-released every decade or so, because it was such a popular group. It was a trio with just bass, guitar, and vibes, with Charles Mingus on bass and Tal Farlow on guitar. So it was a very important group, and in fact, Tal and Charlie, this was really their first job. Charlie was working as a mailman in Los Angeles when Red hired him. He was like 23 years old, and Tal had come out from New York. So this is one of the songs that they did. This is in their repertoire. It's called Move by the Red Norvo Trio, done here by a quintet.
Thank you.
unlike drummers who break their sticks fairly regularly. How often do you break a stick, Lewis? Not that often? Okay, well. Do you keep spares there? You do, yeah. I break a stick, I think the last time was 20 years ago. It's really been that long. So, I wasn't prepared. Wasn't prepared for that. It reminds me of the Gene Krupa story. I don't know if you ever saw that movie. It starred Sal Mineo. But the big sign that Gene was supposedly back on drugs again was because he started breaking his sticks when he was playing. I didn't get that connection, but that's how the movie kind of made this point. Next is a song by Lionel Hampton. Hamp really popularized the instrument, introduced it to the world in 1930 with the first recording of a song called Memories of You with Louis Armstrong, and then almost immediately joined Benny Goodman and what was to become the most popular jazz group of the decade with the Benny Goodman Quartet. And they played that famous concert at Carnegie Hall in 1938. So Hamp really made the instrument a success. I think it might have just faded away as a novelty instrument if it hadn't been for his contribution and his success. This is one of two pieces that are his signature songs. The other one is Flying Home. Midnight Sun, he wrote with Johnny Mercer, who wrote the lyrics to it, and it's a great ballad. And I was mentioned this last night, an oddity about what Hamp said about this song in his biography, as he said that he felt that this song was the beginning of rock and roll. You could be the judge of that. Thank you. here's another song from the Red Narvo Trio repertoire. It's called Godchild. Thank you. Gal Jader was one of the pioneers of Latin jazz, and it opened up a whole new role for the vibraphone in jazz, and he left quite a legacy of records and influences in that field. This is one of his early pieces. He recorded it with Mongo Santa Maria, who was the composer of it. It's called Afro Blue. And it's actually unusual for a Latin piece in that it's in three-quarter time and waltz time, as opposed to 4/4 in a kind of time feel that I was told recently is called a Cuban waltz. So here goes Afro Blue by Mongo Santa Maria.
Thank you. Thank you.